welcome back. It is Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr. Big Iron recovery mode today, although there's so many things and so many people that we visited with at the Legacy Seeds booth and during Big Iron, didn't get a chance to get them all on the air. So today, for the next hour and 45 minutes, we'll have more Big Iron highlights. And one of the guys who was out there on a panel presenting, Mike Krueger, I didn't see you out there yesterday.
Well, I stayed pretty close to the building that the panel was in, although it was a pretty nice day yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the wind was down, ended up being quite nice in the afternoon. So, well, right. Thursday morning, we got some export numbers. There were some pleasant surprises, or have you been digging between the numbers and finding some lumps of coal?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I was writing for some of the stuff I do this morning, just kind of thinking about things. These markets have changed dramatically, as you and I have talked, in the last 2 months, and export demand is a big part of that change. So I just went through the weekly export sales numbers and looked at some comparisons, and kind of worth mentioning. So far today, and we're only in the first month of the marketing year for corn and soybeans, we have 800 million bushels of corn export sales on the books. A year ago at this time, we had 340 million, so we've more than doubled. And the interesting part, of course, is this year so far, China has bought 360 million bushels of U.S. soybeans. Last year at this point, 120,000 bushels. And they announced more corn to China this morning. Soybeans, this year so far, we have 1.2 billion bushels of soybean sales on the books. A year ago, 370 million. And, of course, the big player there, China, is up to 600 million bushels of U.S. soybeans purchased, not yet shipped, but purchased, compared to just 60 million a year ago. Wheat numbers a little bit better than last year at this time. China has bought 55 million bushels of U.S. wheat. That's compared to 18 million a year ago. So no question that export demand has really spurred this market along. And, of course, for the most part, China has been the one that's been doing the buying.
So, but at the same time, everybody's kind of figuring, well, I don't know what this frost is going to have an impact. But people, all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of soybeans going through the combine, and maybe the farmers are finding Mother Nature has put a ding in the yield here and down in Iowa, although the derecho got the bulk of the headlines. The drought has probably affected the amount of soybeans that we'll have available to send to China.
I think so. I still believe that the USDA's September corn and soybean yield estimates are a little bit too high. Soybeans are, I mean, I saw a lot of combines just east of Fargo on the Minnesota side yesterday afternoon, late afternoon. I don't have much idea yet on what yields are going to be, but combine the frost, the late season drought, I just think the yields are going to be a little bit less than what we've seen forecast, which means that supplies are going to have to drop a little bit again in their October numbers, and ending stocks drop as well. So we've also, the other thing going on is we've got, you know, dry, really dry weather in Argentina. That's already hurt the wheat crop. Southern Brazil has also not had rain way below normal the last month or two as they're getting ready to plant their soybean crops. And most of Europe, all the way to southern Russia and Ukraine, is also dry. So for the first time in years, you know, we have some interesting and even some bullish things to talk about.
Wonderful. All right. We get to visit with Mike Krueger on a weekly basis. Thanks to Richland IFC. And I guess a lot of the soybeans that are going out of the PNW are food grade soybeans.
They are. And food grade soybean demand, natto beans and different varieties for things like tofu and soy milk have been expanding every year. Japan's the big market. And interestingly, the big bulk of food-grade beans going to North Asia comes right out of the Red River Valley area. And Richland IFC has been doing it for way over 20 years. And the guy to talk to there, if you're interested in learning more, is Matt. And his number is 218-643-1797.
And they've been doing this, food-grade soybeans, been part of Richland IFC for how long now?
Well, you know, one of the people there said they actually got started over 40 years ago, but they've been a big player for more than 20 years. And interestingly enough, they're to the point where they've developed their own food-grade soybean varieties, their own test plants, the whole nine yards. And it's an interesting business. I didn't know much about it until a year and a half ago, but it's growing rapidly.
It's not a Johnny-come-lately. It's Matt been around for a while.
So, yeah, exactly right.
All right, so back to the markets here. Let's focus on wheat, which has just kind of been a follower lately. Is there reason to plant more wheat next year, do you think?
I like wheat. I have thought that wheat's kind of the sleeper. It's up a dime in Kansas City and in Chicago today. Minneapolis up 6-7. But I think this dryness, if this dryness persists across Europe and the Ukraine and southern Russia, remember that the big percentage of wheat in those areas is winter wheat, and they're planting the stuff right now. So if it stays dry another 20, 30 days over there, then I think this market's going to start to feel a little bit of an anxiety, and I think we'll see more buying in wheat. I mean, the world keeps talking about huge world wheat numbers, but more than half of that supply is in China, and it's not leaving China. And supplies among the major exporting countries like the U.S., Canada, Europe, Argentina, Australia have been dropping in recent years.
If, you know, farmers sold this year's crop today in the December futures market, it would bring them 547.5 right now. But if they planted wheat next spring and sold it today on the futures market, the September 21 contract is 580. I mean, people planted a lot of wheat when it was 580.
Yeah, and I think there's a chance you're going to see a six in front of these wheat futures before all is said and done. And I think the biggest thing that's helped wheat and well over the long pole is, you know, 2 months ago we were talking about 3.5 billion bushel corn carryout. Now we're talking about 2 or slightly over 2 billion, and that changes that equation. And we have huge amounts of corn on hand. Wheat just can't run very far by itself, but we've taken enough of that corn supply away that I don't think it's as burdensome to wheat prices as it could have been.
But we also have 380 corn and 1050 soybeans. Holy mackerel. Yep. The prices couldn't even dream of earlier this year.
Yeah, there was a point, not that, I mean, like July 1st, I think people were thinking December corn could drop below $3. I think soybeans, people thought could get down towards that eight and a half level. So then we dodged a really big bullet, and I think farmers need to take advantage of some of this price gain. And the other thing is, for first time in years, we've got local basis levels, probably the best or close to the best they've ever been at harvest, because this export demand is so good, and it's right now, and the exporters need to buy, but for sure, corn and soybeans.
Last time we had a lot of rail cars busy, cost of a rail car was, you know, because of the Bakken, was kind of off the charts, prohibitive. There were so many other factors that really cut into, like increased production, put the hammer on the prices. The indication is that next year farmers want to plant more soybeans, a little less corn. Could we overproduce and squash this market?
Oh, yeah. I think that's certainly possible. I know people are already talking about what farmers might plant next year. I think it's way too early to worry much about that, because those decisions won't be made until next February and March, and we'll see where price relationships are at that time. But talking about freight, you know, there's an aftermarket on these shuttle trains that, you know, back 4 or 5 years ago when exports were good, they were at big premiums. And we're back to those numbers again. Freight is probably 30 cents a bushel higher today just because you have to pay that much to buy a shuttle train. You know, exports are so bad that the BN had parked equipment. They parked cars. The oil business, you know, had kind of disappeared. So it's going to take them a little bit of time to bring all that stuff back into their inventory.
There are a couple of D words that farmers have never spoke before, derecho and demurrage. We still see a lot of tanker cars sitting on the spurs outside of ethanol plants. They're just sitting there.
Yep, and we had a ton of covered hoppers sitting all over the country. I think at one point, not many months ago, there were 3,000 or 4,000 grain cars, you know, sitting parked around the countryside. I mean, just think about it. We have twice the export sales on the books today in corn and beans that we did a year ago.
Wow.
That's a big number.
Boy, that's for sure. All right, well, let's use those grain cars, get soybeans out to the West Coast, and let's talk about food-grade soybeans again. Why should they maybe consider some food-grade soybeans instead of regular beans?
Well, first of all, there are big premiums, big basis levels, as much as $2, $2.50, $3 a bushel over the basis for conventional soybeans. So I think that's one reason that they should do it. Secondly, it gives them an alternative market. You know, they're not relying totally on either corn or regular soybeans. And thirdly, there's going to be some really good pricing opportunities for 2021 if this soybean rally continues. So I think those are three good reasons. And if they have questions about the agronomic differences between, you know, say, GMO soybeans and food grade beans, they should call Matt at Richland. And his number again is 218-643-1797.
Thank you, Mike Krueger. Appreciate our weekly visits. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Mick. You too.